This is an Energy Sport podcast. Insightful, in-depth and entertaining sports content from Napier to you. This is the Fantasy Ramble, the best student-run FPL show in the country. Join our panel as they take you through the biggest fixtures from each Premier League game week, giving you their advice on how to succeed in your FPL mini-leagues. Expect in-depth discussion, wild takes and plenty of laughs right here on the Fantasy Ramble.
Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble. Your usual host, Jack Donnelly, is struggling with some technical difficulties this week, so you're stuck with myself, Cameron Wanstall, for today's show. Fear not, I am joined by two of the most beloved Ramble regulars to discuss the tricky blank game week coming up. Firstly, I'm joined by a man who has put as much trust into Timo Werner for fantasy points as Celtic put into Neil Lennon for clinching 10 in a row, and look at how that ended. Our weatherman, Mr. Struan Garvey, how are you today?
I'm not bad at all. It's gutting, it's a spoiler for later on the show, but Chelsea are not in action and therefore Timo Werner is going to be reduced to my bench.
Oh God,
it's hard. I think this is the first fantasy game week through the start that he's not going to be in my starting 11.
Oh, you could still keep him in, still captain him. It'll just go to your vice-captain just for, you know, nostalgia's sake.
You know
Yeah, absolutely.
Could just be there.
When you said spoilers, I thought you were going to say something about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I was about to slap you through through the laptop. I was about to... But I'm glad you've stuck with Chelsea. You're true, that's true. There's no Chelsea. So what are you going to do? What are you thinking?
I'm eyeing up Harry Kane at the moment.
Right, we'll get into that. We'll get into that, I suppose. I shouldn't ask you just now. Okay, next up, we have one of our staunchest panellists, Mr. Taylor Murray. After last night's result, how are you feeling today?
See, I wasn't feeling the best. I really wasn't. But that intro of introducing Struan was amazing.
Thank you.
That was just tremendous. See, when you were going to annoy and trust in Timo Werner, I was like, where's he gone with this? But that is amazing, man.
Like, I thought you'd like that. I was just appealing to half of the panellists today. I thought I'd appeal to the Rangers contingent, you know. It makes you feel better. You've said to me before the start that you've been awake a few hours, you've been tossing and turning over the Glenn Kamara incident, but I thought I'd cheer you up.
Nah, man, I generally just it's not nice, man, all that shenanigans. So
good cover.
That was a close one.
Been up since about five. Tried to do uni stuff, but mostly it's just sitting there and just went. I thought, you know what? I'm gonna start watching Drive to Survive. Like, finish off the last couple of episodes and then start the new one. So that's what my one consisted of.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be seeing more about that in the group chat later. Well, without further ado, let's crack on with it. We'll be back in a moment to go through this weekend's premium picks. With just four fixtures available for selection, it was quite straightforward to pick the three best ties for this weekend's premium picks. Let's start with Sunday's 3 o'clock kickoff between London duo West Ham United and Arsenal, who face off at the London Stadium. The Hammers were narrowly defeated 1-0 by Manchester United last time out, while the Gunners beat their North London rivals Tottenham 2-1 in their last league game. I'll come to you, Taylor, since you're a big West Ham man. They didn't manage a single shot on target last time out against Man United, but only conceded due to an own goal. Do you think David Moyes would take a more adventurous approach against Arsenal here, maybe give up some defensive solidity to do so?
Yeah, definitely. Especially last time out, when I seen the team lineup, I think it was pretty evident. In fact, he was being a wee bit more defensive. I don't know if it was psychological that, but he was like, the team just didn't look the attacking normal self. And the likes of Fornals, Bowens, in fact, I think Fornals was on the bench, I can't remember, but it was like your Bowens, Ned, and like Antonio's, and that they just weren't getting that freedom, that space, which is obviously down to like Man United. But West Ham against the bigger clubs, in the top half, have absolutely excelled against teams, you know, coming and attacking them, and that's where they've got their joy. But just for some reason against Man United, it just didn't work out. So. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see him going back to the, you know, shaping, you know, the tactics he had before, where they like to keep control of the ball, using like your Cresswells and your Soufals, see more adventurously to get their balls into the box, and they're the players that I can definitely see, you know, cause a lot of problems against Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Even though like Arsenal are like up and down right now, we're only losing like one in the last five, it's still, I think West Ham have more than enough to like take care of them.
Yeah, I definitely agree as well about the Coufal and Soucek shows. It seems like West Ham's like physical aerial ability will really dominate Arsenal. And then I'll just quickly follow up as well. Taylor, what do you think about Jesse Lingard? Do you think he'll be a danger man in this game?
Oh, definitely. It's like, it was gutting the fact is it wasn't playing against Man United, obviously, because of parent rule, but you actually just seen exactly how important he was. Like, there wasn't really that much creative spurt in that midfield, and without him being there, it kind of did just die down, you know, midfield was overrun. But with him back in against Arsenal, he is 100% the man. Like, if you're ever going to put a West Ham player in that's got to create anything, it's going to be him. I'd put him top, then you've got your full-backs there, but it's... Lingard's has been sensational, and the England call-up kind of shows exactly the job that he's done, by the way. Like, he's managed to break in that England squad with this lone move, and never know, by the way, it could reignite his Man United career, as much as Struan would love to hear that.
Yeah, well, Struan, what do you think about that, actually? Would you be excited to see Lingard come back next season, play a bigger role in the team?
I personally feel that Lingard's time at Manchester United is up. I think this move to West Ham is almost perfect. I think it suits him, I think it suits West Ham, and I think it suits United. You know, I think even in his current form, if he was to come back, I don't think he'd be starting at the moment. I think the way he sort of played in West Ham is he's got that freedom role, which is Bruno Fernandes from Man United, you know, and a bit of Marcus Rashford, and I think both of them would still start over Jesse Lingard. But I'm just really happy for the way it's worked out for him, because obviously West Ham is a really big club at the end of the day. He's got back into the England team, you know. I think that's incredible for him, given the plethora of talent England have got sort of in that attacking frontline position. So, yeah, I think it's a really good deal. I'd be surprised if he plays again for United, because I think West Ham will try and make the deal permanent in the summer. I've got absolutely no idea what his value would be in a normal market, let alone a COVID-impacted market. So we'll see how that goes. But I think everybody... I think it's just one of these deals that just suits everybody, to be honest, at the moment. And it's just really nice to see Jesse Lingard playing well as well.
Definitely.
Nice to see it. Nominated for Player of the Month as well, which was a travesty that he didn't win it, in my opinion. But just good to see he was there.
Fantastic, yeah. Sorry if anyone heard some barking there. The postman just came to my house. anyways, yeah, well said, Struan. Unfortunately, that is probably all we'll get to speak about Manchester United today, because I don't believe they're playing this weekend. I should have that in my notes. We're going to move on to Arsenal. So Arsenal is a huge derby win over Spurs last time out, but they were beaten by Olympiacos on Thursday night in the Europa League. Also, they still went through an aggregate, but kind of slightly dampens the mood, maybe. It was quite a poor showing. How do you think they bounce back here?
I think Arsenal are one of these teams this season who sort of go on these small bursts, in that they'll lose three or four in a row, and then they'll suddenly win three or four in a row. I mean, I think this past week has been very good for them. You know, I think they, although it was only a 2-1, I think they dominated Spurs in the derby, although Spurs didn't have the best result in Europe, as we'll probably get onto later. And then, although they lost to Olympiacos, you know, they did enough damage in the first leg. So I think Arsenal are in quite a good position at the moment. You know, a lot of their players have come back. A lot of players are starting to find their feet and find form. You know, Willian's actually a good player at the moment, which is quite surprising, given the way he started the season. Yeah. Aubameyang's looking good. Even Pepe started to look good. And it's almost to the point now where the likes of Saka and Tierney, who've basically been the best players, can sort of take a back seat. I think Odegaard and Smith Rowe as well have been interesting. I think they've looked quite good as well. So I'm not quite sure how they'll approach this, because West Ham, as we've said, have got quite a weird approach to games. I mean, the Man United game, as soon as you saw that lineup, you just didn't want to watch that game. You know, a back five and three holding midfielders. And you just, you know, what is the point in that? But I think because they will have Lingard, they will have a bit more freedom in this one. And obviously Lingard likes a goal against Arsenal, so I'm hoping this could be an exciting game. I really hope this would be good, because I think West Ham still have a very good shot at getting European football, whether that be top four or top six. And I think this is one of those games where they could say, you know, right, yeah, set back against Man United, but we can put that right against Arsenal at the weekend. And it's a derby, and yeah.
Yeah. Should be a really exciting game. And also, so West Ham don't seem to have many issues going on, so I think Antonio might be fit. I think they've pretty much got a full team. Whereas Arsenal, also you've mentioned Odegaard and Amos are really, really good players, but Saka's doubtful. Also, Aubameyang played, I believe he started at least against Olympiacos, and Lacazette was missed out. So I could maybe see Lacazette coming back in here. It's a really tricky one. We'll get on to predictions, I suppose. That's where I'm going. Taylor, we'll come to you first. What about your wee score prediction and your key man shirt?
The prediction for this, I can definitely see being a West Ham win, and I'm going to say they're going to probably win this by 2-1. And the main man is going to be Lingard. He's coming back inside, he's going to be that magic spark, he's just going to be amazing, and yeah, it's 3 points are staying in London. no matter what happens.
Yeah, I was about to say.
No matter what happens for you, that is a draw.
That's an astute observation there, Taylor. Right, I'll actually go next because mine's the exact same. I'm also thinking a 2-1 for West Ham, and we'll get onto it later, but I may have taken a point set just to get Jesse Lingard in this week, so I'm going with him for my key man as well. Stroom, what are you thinking?
I'm leaning towards 2-1, but to Arsenal. I think, I just have a feeling Arsenal are in that sort of good run at the moment. They've had a few good results, but then it's a tricky one. I think West Ham players have definitely looked at Antonio and Jesse Lingard. Maybe Suchet could be that danger from a set piece. I don't think Arsenal are very good at set pieces, to be honest. I think West Ham are quite deadly at them, so
yeah,
it could definitely be something there. Dawson maybe as well, and clean sheet, possible goal. It sort of needs to atone for last weekend as well. That'll be in the back of his mind. Yeah. As for Arsenal, I think Lacazette is a better shout than Aubameyang at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think Tierney's a solid shout for both his offensive play and potentially a clean sheet.
Yeah.
And maybe something like an Odegaard or a Smith Rowe is a bit of a unique shout that could be incredible. Or maybe Granit Xhaka. You know, maybe people are sleeping on Granit Xhaka.
Yeah, man, if you're sleeping on them for red cards, then yeah, sure, go for it.
Are you trying to sabotage other people here, Struan? Is that the game plan?
No.
Are you hoping maybe Graham and Jack maybe pick Granit Xhaka?
No. One player, actually, who I will admit I did get wrong probably was Declan Rice. For like the past couple of seasons, I always thought like he was a good player, but I always thought he sort of had that English hype. And I always sort of thought, like, oh, is it actually, you know, that good? But I have to say, he has really impressed me this season when I have seen him. And I think if you're looking for a bit of a... He's not really going to get you points in fantasy, but if you're wanting to be a bit bold and unique, and you know, he's the penalty taker now. I think that was confirmed. So if David Luiz or Granit Xhaka are up to their old tricks,
yeah,
Declan Rice could be in there for a penalty shot.
Yeah, that's a great shout, to be fair. I also like your shout about Tierney as well. I think him, Cedric or Bellerin might be good picks. I think both of them maybe hit the woodwork against Olympiacos. The wing-backs were really good against Olympiacos, I'll give them that. Moving on. We gave our predictions. So our next premium pick, we have another top half clash between 9th place Aston Villa and 8th place Tottenham Hotspur on Sunday night. Now, last game was an exciting 3-2 win for Spurs, and with Villa only managing 1 point from recent clashes against Newcastle, Sheffield United and Wolves, things are not looking good for the home side. However, Spurs, of course, were beaten by Arsenal last Sunday and then dumped out the Europa League after extra time by Dino Zagreb thanks to a Mislav Orsic, I hope that's the correct pronunciation, he got a hat-trick. Struan, we'll come to you for Tottenham. After being beaten by a Croatian side whose manager resigned on Monday because he was sent to prison for fraud, so you know, beat by a team that doesn't even have a manager, surely Spurs, who will be knackered after that 120-minute game away from home, they might really struggle here.
This is not looking good for Spurs, to be honest. I mean, I mentioned earlier on about the North London derby to Arsenal, which they did only lose by a goal, but I thought they were terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought they nearly like stole a point at the end with a really close Harry Kane free kick, and I think the goal as well, the Lamela goal, it was a very nice goal. Obviously, not one of the best in the Premier League era. Mm-hmm. Check out extra time.
Absolutely. But, what a plug.
No problem. But cracking episode. No, I think that was just lucky for Tottenham. I didn't really see much from them, but it's. I know Son got injured, but other than that, it's a full-strength team. And I thought against Zagreb, you know, I didn't watch all of the game, I watched the highlights, and Zagreb were just all over them. They just looked fitter, more up for it. They just looked a better team all over the pitch. And Tottenham, in a way, just sort of looked... They just looked poor, you know. That you know, there's always the joke that 2-0 is a dangerous lead. Hmm. And it was... I thought after last week, Arsenal and Tottenham were both... definitely through, you know, a 2-0 lead at home, albeit you should be able to go away. You know, if Tottenham scored one goal last night, that's them through.
There's
no doubt about that in my mind. They just couldn't. And even still, with Bale, with Lucas, with Lamela, with Kane, the Lo Celso, they just couldn't get going. And I think Aston Villa will really fancy their chances here, even without Jack Grealish themselves. I think they have to look at this and think there's an opportunity here. I personally don't think Kane looks that fit either at the moment. He's just not really looked himself recently. I don't know if that's, you know, without Heung-Min Son, they really, really need Kane to step up. But I think Aston Villa will really fancy their chances here. And I think Tottenham need to step up now because the league's all they've got left, really. The league up against Man City, I'm not really sure that actually counts as an accolade or anything, to be honest. So I think they've got to push for top four. And I think Aston Villa are one of those teams as well who are pushing around because... as much as I'm not trying to slag off the Europa League, I think Tottenham need to be in the Champions League given how consistent they've been in it for the last 4 or 5 years, to be honest. I think this is not a great look at all at the moment, especially given the start to the season they had.
Exactly. We love the Europa League over here. Extra time there at Energy Sport. But
I've enjoyed the Europa League more than Champions League this season. It's not a big shout, but I have.
Taylor agrees as well. We spoke about that a few times, but Spurs and Arsenal, teams like that, they need to be in the Champions League to compete, and it's quite shocking that they're not. I'll actually follow up on something you said there, Struan, because also you mentioned Kane at the very start of the episode, and as you said, he doesn't look fit. He's played 120 minutes there against Zagreb, but do you think it's maybe better Stephen Clear in hindsight? Do you think maybe we should stay away from him?
Yeah, I think there are better options than Harry Kane, to be honest. I know he is, as far as stats go, goals and assists is right up there at the top. I think on current form, I think there's just cheaper alternatives. You know, even this weekend, people like Patrick Bamford, Mikel Antonio, I think they're cheaper strikers in the league. Ollie Watkins, I'd probably say they've got just as much of a chance as Harry Kane of scoring goals, to be honest. You know, I think at the moment, I would almost avoid just about every Spurs player. There is maybe someone like Reguilon could come in. You know, there's the argument that they do need to right the wrong and have a really strong result against Villa, which they might do. The Premier League's a bit weird. But I think for the money that Harry Kane is going to cost you, unless you've had him all along, or you're making that big transfer, you're playing your free hit or something else, I think I would just avoid Harry Kane this weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We will move on to Aston Villa. Also, they've been missing their key man recently, Jack Grealish. That's hurt FPL players, not only who had him, but also had Villa players like Watkins, Konsa, Mings, Target, Martinez, off the top of my head. They've all seen points drop quite a big margin since Grealish's absence. So I'll ask Taylor, do you think it's time to get rid of Villa assets, or should we hold out for Grealish's potential return after the international break?
Honestly, I'm sitting with two Villa players.
Same.
I'm just going to keep them there because I can't do anything, and I hope that after the international break it picks up. Mm-hmm. But funny enough, I'm also sitting with Bale. Yay.
Oh okay.
That was a bold one I put in 2 weeks ago, and it's semi-paid off, I think. I don't know.
To us, he could maybe lead the line in this game, though. If Kane is unfit, you know, that's not an awful shot.
People could be, you know, just overlooking Bale. Like, he's very expensive, by the way, and he's very inconsistent. But just with the runny form, by the way, that he's going on, and I've just hit my table, sorry about that. Runny form he was on, you know, obviously the derby didn't contribute much, but he was getting, like, I think he had about 3 goals or a goal and assist in, like, 3 games. So he was slow but surely get back to the Bale that we've once knew. And you never know, it could just be a bad game in the North London derby and he could be performing in this. And especially if you said Kane not being fully fit, then yeah. But Villa assets, I would maybe hold off until the international break before bringing any of them in. That's, if you already have them, play them. But I wouldn't touch them right now until at least we see how they perform with, like, hopefully Grealish back in the next, you know, couple of weeks. And you never know, they might pick up by when they could... A strong into the season, which means a strong into your fantasy season.
Fantastic, Taylor. Fantastic. That's a great way to wrap up. We'll move on to predictions then. I'm just going to mention before, I noticed that all Villa's games recently have been low scoring.
Got it again. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. We move on. I was just going to say that Villa's games recently have been really low scoring, so I'm keeping that in mind for my prediction. We'll come to Struan. You can go for your prediction first.
I'll go for a 1-0 Tottenham. Mm. A really shithouse game, I think, coming up here. Right. I think it could be dire. And I mean that in both ways of, it could be him that comes up with the random goal and the sense that the game will be a pain to watch.
Yeah.
Mm. I think, I'm going to go for that. I never know what to think of Aston Villa this season. They're so difficult to predict. Even though Spurs are this bad this season, you just sort of think, they could just pull a result out of the bag. We could just, you know, Højbjerg could score another screamer or something. They could just sit on a 1-0 lead. But I'll go 1-0 Spurs.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That sounds good to me. What about a key man? Are you saying Eric Dier?
Oh, man. Do you know what? Yeah. Eric Dier, the key man.
Okay. Taylor, you can go next, mate. What are you thinking?
Struan, you're saying this game could be dire in both senses. I think this game could be on target in both senses. Because
Oh my.
Oh, oh.
We're on the go here.
That was filthy. That was fantastic, Taylor. Go
Matt
ahead.
Matt Target is going to be the man. It's probably, I can see this game being a 1-0 to Villa, by the way. And, you know, Watkins, he's just not going to produce anything unless it's going to be, you know, on the end of a Target cross. Target's going to get probably that assist, I think. So that assist and that clean sheet, there's 9 points for you. There's 9 points for you right there. Yep. And the bonus points that can roll in with him, you could be sitting on at minimum 10. There we go. So there's 10 points for your very decimated team that everybody out there probably will have. So it's not going to be great considering I've got two. Everybody in my players has played against each other other than West Ham players. So if I get any more than 12 points, by the way, I am absolutely buzzing. So Target is your main man. 1-0 to Villa. Bale gets subs off after 59 minutes, so I only get that 1 point again. Yes.
Aye, that sounds very plausible, to be fair. I'm going to stick close to you guys. I'm going to say 1-1. I'll go kind of down the middle here. 1-1. And purely because I've got him in my team, I'll say Ollie Watkins to get a goal or an assist. Because he is doing my head in recently. So I'm backing him here. We'll move on now to our third and final premium pick. That's a Friday night clash between newly promoted pair Fulham and Leeds United. After beating Liverpool, Scott Parker's men fell to a 3-0 defeat to Manchester City, whilst Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds drew 0-0 against Chelsea, meaning the Yorkshire side have just accumulated 4 points from their last 18 available. Not great. We'll start with Fulham and we'll start with Taylor here. The last time these two sides met in September ended a 4-3 win for Leeds, but recently Fulham, you know, they started off quite rocky this season, but they've really shored up their defence a fair bit recently. Last week's defeat to league leaders Man City was the first time they'd conceded more than one goal in 7 league games. How are you expecting Fulham to set up for this one?
See, you can't really set up a specific way against Leeds, because they'll end up doing the complete opposite of what you think. Like, you could probably sit and think they'll be conservative, then boom, 3-4-3, out all out attack, just all strikers in the pitch, and you're like, wait, where's this came from? So, Leeds is a hard team to play against in that sense, because of how unpredictable they are, but Fulham, Scott Parker, you know, he has got him playing some good football. He has got him now with a fighting chance to get out of the relegation zone, and I can see him setting up in the way he's done in the past, you know, controlling the play, by the way, you know, keep holding the ball, try to tire the opposition out, then getting your creative players like Magia, Lookman, all in behind, and these players will probably hopefully create for him. It's one because Fulham have been without their club captain, by the way, since, like, I think mid-December, so you'd think that they would be a wee bit decimated, but funnily enough, this is when their form picked up. I'm not saying it's down to, you know, Tom Kearney or any of that, but
yeah.
It's when their midfielder, what's his name again? Oh my God, this, I think he's Senegalese.
The midfielder filled in for...
That's all right, it'll come,
film?
Come in my head.
At film.
Yeah, for film, yeah.
Anguissa?
Yes, him, Anguissa. He has been absolutely a playmaker, by the way. He's one that I thought when he's on loan. When he first came in, I thought, yeah, he's not up to scratch, by the way. He's, you know, he's just like, he's going through the motions. Game's passing him by, but more and more, by the way, he's been, you know, up his game, you know, getting them, see, like, key passes through, you know, feeding the lines for, like, Lookman managers and that. And he's really good at breaking up the players I've seen. So he's a player that's really come into it in the last couple of, you know, weeks, especially. So it's a game where I think... I would say Fulham would set up pretty well against them. However, it's Leeds, and we never know what we've still got to do. But I'm confident that Scott Parker will find a way to get at least something from this game. Whether it's all 3 points or a point, I don't see Fulham losing this.
Good shout. Good shout. We'll get into predictions in a moment, actually. We'll come to you, Stroom, for Leeds. So they're still vying a top 10 spot, but Patrick Bamford's been out recently. He's a major doubt for this game. So for our listeners, maybe doing a free hit or just looking to bring in a certain player, should we be bringing in Leeds players this weekend if they've not got their star striker?
I'm very confused by Leeds at the moment. I think they've gone 3 games without scoring a single goal now, which is so seldom for this Leeds team, given all season they've just scored for fun. And I think they probably could have beaten Chelsea this past weekend as well. I think they had the chances. Mendy pulled off a few good saves. I think Meslier pulled off quite a few good saves as well, in fairness. But it's so difficult. Maybe Rafinha. If Bamford is out, I think Harrison and Rafinha are possibly the two the two shouts. You know, Stuart Dallas scores unbelievable goals just here and there if you want to go for a bit more of a potential clean sheet, potential goal there. But I think otherwise I would just stick to Rafinha and Harrison. I think players like Rodrigo just aren't really going to do it this weekend. I think I'd lean towards Fulham players at the moment.
Yeah. I've not to come anywhere, but I've got Mesley. I'm still thinking I'll put him in, but yeah, Fulham just look a tiny bit better for this game. I suppose that can put us into predictions. Struan, what are you thinking for this one? What's your prediction for this one?
I'm going to go for a 2-0 Fulham. And as far as the key man goes, I'm going to go a bit different as well. I went for Eric Dier in the past, so I'm going to be a bit more unique here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for Joe Bryan, the left-back.
Joe Bryan, wow. Oh, that pays off. Well, I'll shout that as you can stick that in the group chat at the weekend if that happens. That's a good shout. I'm feeling similar. I think Leeds have maybe fell off a little bit. Obviously, we've seen a lot of talk in the past about they fall away at the end of seasons just purely because of fitness. And if there's any season where you're going to struggle with fitness, it's this one. I don't know. Maybe I'm actually going to go with a 0-0. I can't believe I'm saying that. I really can't. It's just came to my head. I'm going to go with a 0-0. I'll go 0-0. And I'm going to go a little bit weird as well, Struan. I brought in a guy. I don't even know his first name, I have to admit. A Fulham defender called Anderson. They have a few...
Joaquim,
thank you very much. You saved me there. They have a bunch of defenders like Olaina, Tosin Adarabayo, Alphonse Areola, all quite cheap, all had really good games. I think they've all had 4 points plus in like their recent form. I think they're all worth under 5 million. Maybe Areola might not be. But Fulham have a few good cheap picks at the back. We'll maybe get onto that later in Locked in 11. But yeah, I'll go with that.
Oh, okay, I'm back.
You're back. Okay, well, Taylor, I was stalling there if no one could tell because Taylor's mic had gone. So, yeah. Taylor, give us your prediction, please.
My prediction will be a tremendous 19. No, it's going to be one each.
One each, okay. One each. Who's your...
I'm going conservative about one each here, but...
We went that as well. Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised, by the way, if, you know, I say one each and, you know, Leeds end up winning about 7-0, or I say one each and, like, Fulham end up battering Leeds 5-0, or I say one each and the game finishes 0-0. Don't be surprised. This game is, like, sometimes me on a very, very rainy day. My emotions are up and down, you know. So, let's just get the key player in this. Just get your Lookmans in. I've got Lookman in. Mm-hmm. Look what he's done. He's been... Okay. He's been okay, but he's been enough. Magic, he's been picking up form. Yeah, I'll do that. But Rafinha, maybe, if you want to, you know, hopefully Leeds do win one of these 7-0 wins. or if Bamford does make it, oh, there's an outside shout. Do you take the gamble? He's 75% chance.
Mm-hmm. So it's a tricky one.
This is one, by the way, where if you can't avoid it, if you can't, just chuck both players in and hope for the best.
That's the tough thing about such a blank game week as well, is that you can't, like, it's hard to avoid games. You know what I mean? You need to play the players that are playing. So if you've got Fulham or Leeds players, you need to chuck them in when you'd otherwise leave them on the bench. Really tricky one. But we'll move on. That is actually the end of our premium pick segment. We'll be back in a moment to talk through the final tie of game week 29 in our next section, wildcard options. Now, there is only one game to pick from for our wildcard options this week, so I am going to take this opportunity to declare our fourth and final tie as the Brexit game of the week. Something that we mean to do every single week on this show, and Jack will admit, it just sometimes gets forgotten. It's a busy show, there's a lot going on, but this is our Brexit game of the week this week. Graham Potter's Brighton will host Steve Bruce's Newcastle at 8 p.m. on Saturday. 5 of the last 7 match-up between these sides have ended either 0-0 or 1-0. To make matters worse, Newcastle have not won any of their last 5 games, while Brighton's 2-1 victory over Southampton last weekend put an end to their 6-game spell without a win. So yeah, pretty Brexit if you ask me. I'm going to call this one the battle of the centre-back captains. Brighton have Lewis Dunk, Newcastle have Jamal Lascelles, who have both actually done well in FPL recently despite their club's below-par performances. I'll ask you both, would either of you take either of them ahead of this week's game?
I have Dunk.
I have Dunk too. Yeah, what do you think about him? Because I benched him last week and he got 10 points, and I was rather pissed at myself.
I'm going to get controversial. I think Dunk's unlucky to miss out on the England team at times. I really, like, I think Stones and Robert...
All right, we have a conversation for this game, right?
Whoa. I mean, first of all, like there's so many omissions from that England team. Trent is obviously the worst, but that's you could be talking about that for a couple of hours. Michael Keane is also. I don't understand that one, but I think Duncan's very good. I think he's one of those players who, because he plays for a lower down team, obviously doesn't quite get the praise and stuff like that. But I think throughout Brighton's time in the Premier League, I think he's just been pretty solid. You know, he's not the very best centre back in the league by any means. Mm-hmm. He's not this young up and coming prospect, but he's a threat. You know, he's good in set pieces, both offensively and defensively. I think he's a good captain. When he was playing with Shane Duffy at the back under Hughton, like, I think that was a very solid partnership. We've seen how Duffy's fared on his own. I think Dunk is definitely the better of the two of them there. And I think, as far as a cheap fantasy pick goes, and as far as any Brighton players, I think if I'm picking a Brighton player, he's the only one that I choose at the moment, or the first one, because he's probably got more of a chance of scoring than any of their forwards, which I think sums up how Brighton's season is currently going. I think the other player I'd maybe go for is Robert Sanchez, who's actually made the Spain squad. I believe he took Kepa's position, which is crazy.
That's huge. Yeah, that is huge. Well done.
Because I think it's been quality as well. I mean, like, he basically put Matt Ryan to the bench, and then Matt Ryan's ended up over at Arsenal, which is, like, I think that's crazy, because I think Matt Ryan's good, but I think it was Rochdale. Robert Sanchez was at last season.
Wow!
And now he's a first choice in the Premier League and has made it to the national team. That's just a really good story.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Can we just back up a little bit, Struan? Who does he displace in this England squad for the late centre backs? Because you've got Connor Cody, Eric Dyer, Harry Maguire, and John Stones. What one of them does he take out?
Well, I think Stones and Maguire, England's best two centre backs, definitely on current form. I think there's a case for him over Dyer at the minute. I think you could make a case over Cody.
And Cody.
I don't think Cody's good in a back four, and I don't know if England are necessarily going to play that. I think Wolves have sort of been off the ball. I think Cody's the type of player who I'd have in my squad, because I think he's a really good leader. I think he's just a good player to have around. But at the same time, I don't really think he's any more deserving, especially if England do play in a back four, because that's just not his system. Mm-hmm. I think Tyrone Mings is there as well.
Mings deserves it.
I think I'd make more of a case that Michael Keane should actually be in there. I think he's been excellent with Everton this season. But I do think Dunk's a bit unlucky, because I don't think Eric Dier has played since January. And when Dier initially came out of the team, Tottenham were instantly better. So I think there's definitely a case for Lewis Dunk. Maybe it's a bit of a risky shout for me, to be honest. And maybe I'm just thinking who would be easier for Scotland than Che Adams to take on in the Euros. But I think Lewis Dunk is a bit unlucky to miss out, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, actually, I thought, oh, that's a bold shout. But now you've read out the names there, Taylor. I've went to Struan's side a little bit as well. I don't think Cody or Dier are that special.
I'd have thought a younger prospect other than Dunk, like, to replace him. Like, somebody like Holgate, maybe.
Consa, he's English.
Ben White, same team or something.
Consa's been fantastic.
And,
I think Southgate just has his favourites, though, doesn't he? I think there's so many good players, like your Grealishes, like your Trents, who are, like, arguably the best in the league in their position, and they basically just get left out for people like Kyle Walker, who doesn't even start for his team anymore and stuff like that. Kyle Walker's very good, that's a bad example, but do you know what I mean? I think there's just a lot of players who are unlucky to get in and not get into that team.
I'm going to quickly flip this for 2 seconds. You know, if you listen for this game and you really think we're going to speak about this game, it's not. I'm flipping.
We need to talk about the England team. We're talking about a Brexit game of the week. This works.
No, I'm quickly flipping this. So, England squad has Jude Bellingham in. Why? He's 17. How does Scotland not call up Gilmore or Turnbull? Like, seriously.
We have a tendency of the fact
they're too young.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I think these managers, like international managers, do just have their trust in players, their favourites and stuff like that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think, you know, it's a big step. I think Gilmore could make the Euro squad, but I think just looking at Billy Gilmore at the moment, he's not getting any game time at all for Chelsea under Tuchel. At least under Lampard, you know, we did see. He might feature in the FA Cup this weekend against Sheffield United.
He should.
But if he doesn't get any sort of football in the first team, as bad as John Fleck, etc. have been, it's hard to argue that they shouldn't necessarily deserve the place more, or at least just have more an option. I think Gilmore is the future of Scotland in midfield for sure, but I think at the moment his lack of club football is probably weighing him down, which I think is really annoying, because I do want him in that team. I want our best players there, but like the Turnbull and Rangold, I just can't understand.
I think... Gilmore, I agree 100% straight. If someone's not playing, then they shouldn't really be in the team unless they're experienced enough to stay there. But David Turnbull was a shock. I thought David Turnbull would get in. But hey, if you want some Scottish squad football chat, go listen to Extra Time from yesterday. And
I can flip this into Newcastle, Ryan Fraser. I know he's coming. He could be the difference in Brighton versus
Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably as much as I'm going to weigh on in that conversation, because this game is a snooze fest. 0-0, no key man. This game didn't happen. Saturday nights are wasted. Watch
the new Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Honestly, that is a better idea. For this, I've got obviously notes for this, guys. And I only had one question. I didn't even have two questions for you. And my only thing was I wrote down Martin Dubravka, 4.8 million, 3.8 form. That's the only mention. Like, I have things called mentions where, like, I should mention them. That's it. Like, there's nothing to talk about in this game, really. Like, I think we've done quite well to get like 7 minutes out of this, despite it being basically a talk about Billy Gilmore and the England team. We've done well, guys.
We've done it. What's crazy about this is it's technically a relegation six-pointer, but I don't care.
I know. It's not
a good thing. If both teams were to lose, I would actually be happy with that. I'd rather they two were down with, like, Fulham.
It's a nil-nil, and instead of a draw, they both just get a loss for it because it was that bad.
That was my big shout on last week's Extra Time, just saying. It's a great idea. Oh, will we put this to bed, guys? Will we move on? Right.
Both teams lose, by the way. United overtake West Brom somehow, and Fulham and Sheffield United are out the relegation zone. There we go.
That's your prediction. That's your prediction. Yeah. Struan, do you want to give a quick prediction then? We'll chuck them in quick.
Oh, I'll go 0-0. Lewis Dunk to have a clean sheet and Robert Sanchez to have a clean sheet. One of those two could be the key man.
Joel
Veltman to make Mr. McIntosh happy.
Oh, yeah, forgot about Veltman. Yeah, of course. McIntosh would like that. I'll go for either a 0-0 or a 5-5, because it'll happen. We've slagged it off for 8 minutes now, and it'll just be the greatest game the Premier League's ever witnessed. I'll go Lewis Dunk, key man as well, because I've got him in, just like you, Struan. Well, if you're still awake after that game, that's it for Wildcard Options, or Brexit Game of the Week, or the Diddy Picks. That's the best name for that section, I believe. Whatever you want to call it. We'll be right back with Locked In 11. As always, we'll wrap up the show with Locked In 11. Usually, we'd quickly discuss the weekend's forgotten ties, but we have already gone through them all. So let's just have a quick run through of who is left in each of our squads, as well as give some shouts on players we maybe quite fancy. Maybe if listeners have a free hit, we'll give some shouts for that as well. Let's start with goalkeepers and defenders. We'll come to Struan. Who have you got left in your decimated team?
So, I was saving this until here, but I've actually played my free hit this weekend.
Oh, nice. Right, what's going on?
Oh, no.
We've got Spain's second best goalkeeper, Robert Sanchez, in net.
Uh-huh.
I'm expecting good things from him, hopefully. I've got Kieran Tierney, who we give a lot of praise to. I've also got Aaron Cresswell, because West Ham are really good from set pieces. I have got Reguil on at the moment because, as I said, I think it could be a 1-0 Spurs, but I'm very tempted to just put Eric Dier in there for the memes.
Mm-hmm.
And Lewis Dunk, who we like as well. Good old Lewis Dunk. I've also got Stuart Dallas on the bench.
Oh my God, that is actually a fantastic team. I like that. I really like that back line. I'm jealous of that back five. And Dallas on the bench. Oh my goodness, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. Taylor, have you got anything close to that?
All right, Struan. I was laughing at the fact that I'm above you and slowly pulling away, but no, I am shitting myself now. So I've tried my best for damage limitation. I've got two defenders.
Two defenders.
No goalkeeper, just two defenders.
Oh my God.
Cresswell.
Who are your goalkeepers? Sorry, before you go. Who is your usual goalkeepers?
Ederson and David Button.
Brighton boy, aye. But you've got Ederson. Aye, that's fair, mate. Okay, fair enough.
So I've got him in there. Usually it's Shaw and Azpilicueta's there, but, you know, mm-hmm. they're out of action this weekend. So
of course.
I'm relying on Cresswell and Target to fill in for these two as well as themselves. So mm-hmm. usually I'd get a standard, you know, maybe very minimum three from them.
Yeah.
So I expect an extra three from Target and Cresswell here. So 27 points my defence is what I'm aiming for this week.
No, I like that. I think you've actually got two good players there, though. You've got two quality left-backs. They'll get you 20 points, mate. 20 points.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
They will get you more points than Struan's back five. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry to say, Taylor. I think Struan might have a chance to take over this week, son. I'm so sorry.
No, in fact, I want to hear what you've got, Cameron.
Well, have I got? I know. I'm being Billy Big Bollocks.
You really dropped that. You're up there. You're way
ahead. I was top as well. I've bottled it, man. I'm top our league, though, by quite a bit. Me and Raf are like... I think I'm 100 points ahead of Raf, and Raf's 100 points ahead of Jamie or Jackson.
Running away with it at this point.
Me and Raf should be solidified in those positions. If I lose, can I just say, if I lose, I'm not giving up my money. I'll move countries. If I chuck an 100-point lead, I'm just no coming back to uni. Right, I'll never meet you. It's not happening. Right?
No takesies, backsies.
Yeah. But if I win, I want all your money. Yeah, that's the way it works. And that Matty Blake bit, like, that boy's running away with it in the public league. Like, fuming.
That's it. So upset. You and Brian Sweet playing for that second spot, by the way.
I know. Hopefully get second at least. I'll tell you my back. Like, so I've got Martinez and Meslier to choose from in goal, so I'm going with Meslier because I've picked Martinez a lot recently and he's kind of let me down actually. So I'm going back to Meslier. And my back three is Ezri Konsa. I bought in Joaquin Anderson, as Struan pointed out earlier, as his first name. He's got Leeds at home for Fulham. And this is my big shout. This just shows that I'm with Struan all the way on Lewis Dunk. Lewis Dunk, captain. Captain Lewis Dunk at home to Newcastle. Bold, I think. Is it because the rest of my players are shit? Maybe. But I just like Lewis Dunk that much. I think he'll get a clean sheet. So that's my back three and goalkeeper. Has anyone got any good shouts for maybe other people like Struan who have a free hit? Any good shouts out there?
Maybe like a Gabriel from Arsenal, maybe a Cedric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like a Cedric shout especially.
Michael Dawson atoning for the mishap.
Uh-huh.
Kufal, maybe? Or Sufal?
Yeah, I like that.
However,
as well.
It's pronounced
Bonner. West Ham boys.
I've actually.
Or to stick fully Brighton Newcastle defenders in. Then there you go. Boom.
Good old Veltman. Stupid. Who is actually? He's good for value for money, I think. I'd written down Treswell and Target, funnily enough, Taylor. That was two players I wanted to get in, and I've went for Anderson instead. I think because I have a limit on like Villa and West Ham players just now. Also fought Lascelles, as I've said before, and I fought Ola Aina. So yeah, plenty of good cheap options, to be fair, for players playing this week, especially if you've got a free hit and you don't want to keep them because they're lesser clubs, you know. Either way, we'll move on. We'll go into our midfield. We'll go to Taylor this time. So Taylor, who have you got in your midfield?
So my midfield is jam-packed with quality.
Love
so
it.
So I've got four. I've
four.
Got Rafinha, mm-hmm. in the most inconsistent team going. Lookman in a revival team, but he's not been performing in the last couple of weeks. Bale, the 59-minute man who only gets you the 1 point. But then, the spark. The light at the end of the tunnel. Jesse Lingard.
Oh, nice.
He's captain as well. Oh. I'm getting emotional because of how good this is going to be.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I'll go next because mine's is quite similar. I also start off with Rafinha. He's the first guy in my midfield. I've got Suchek. I've got Son, who, of course, is a major doubt for this one, but he's in anyway because I don't have enough players. And I've also got Jesse Lingard as my vice-captain. I took a points hit to get him in, so I want at least 4 points from him or Anderson to make up the deficit. But I've got him as my vice-captain because I'm like you, Taylor. As much as I don't like the guy, he's very much up there with Antoine Griezmann in my dislikable peoples, but... I really have rated him this season. I do think he's a good player, so I've got him in as well. Struan, what about you?
I have gone for Mr. Aubameyang.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Rafinha, Mr. Harrison, and Mr. Bukayo Saka.
Oh, Saka is quite doubtful, isn't he? Is he one of the ones that's flagged up? Mm.
I originally actually had Willian in that position, but he's also doubtful, so I'm a bit unsure. I think Lingard could come in here, and I think it could be Harrison who's also departing because. I'm a bit uncertain about Leeds, in all honesty, so...
Yeah,
it's a tough one. I'm going to have to think about this. I've also got Lookman from Fulham, who's on my bench, because I fancy Fulham to beat Leeds, so... I'm
going to
have to do
about...
some thinking.
Mm-hmm. You've still got time to play about. We're recording this in the morning, so you've got a good couple hours after your uni class to get thinking on that one. You can do that with free hits, can't you? Sorry, got to remember this is my first year in fantasy.
I can go as much as I can. So after I've seen Man United undoubtedly draw Ajax or Arsenal in the Europa League, I can just forget about that and zoom in on my fantasy.
Yes, full
there's
focus.
A wee early prediction.
That's it. You need 100% focus. Yeah, I also I fully think you'll get Ajax, just saying.
100%.
Just red in the stars, isn't it? Red in the stars. Right, any other good shout then, lads? We'll go into that again. Any other good shouts here?
Oh, Declan Rice, I mentioned him earlier on. Uh-huh. If West Ham do get a penalty, or maybe from a set piece, he could be the man.
It's an easy few points, isn't it? Few points there. What about you, Taylor? Any good shouts?
Honestly, I can't really think of much other than the ones I've got in. Like, Declan Rice is one who's nailed it in the head, him, but any other ones, maybe Jared Bowen, maybe Lanzini, if that's a really, really left-fielded one you want to go for.
If you know he's going to play, yeah.
It's Arsenal, do you really want your Xhaka in? Do you really want your...
do you know what, I'm tempted to put Xhaka in just for a laugh.
Please do it, Sean, please.
Do you know, yeah, he's going in for Saka. That's my transfer, then, putting Granite Xhaka in my fantasy team. I'm not winning, I'm not coming, I probably might come last, actually, this route, but at the end of the day...
It's a good laugh, isn't it?
Yeah,
to take it from Craig Levine, it's a good laugh. It's all that matters. I'm glad we didn't go through the Granit Xhaka thing again. For context to our listeners, we did have a good 5 minutes in between these segments just slating Granit Xhaka. So, yeah, be brave, be bold, Struan. Go for it.
I'm a Listerine user, after all. I'm going to be bold. I was actually just thinking about that West Ham team, and I think this is a credit to how good they are, but if you just think about like a starting 11 for them, all of them are good picks in fantasy. You know, Fabianski can keep you clean sheets. The centre backs are threats from set pieces and can keep you clean sheets. Cresswell and Kufal are good. Mm-hmm. Suchek, Lingard, Declan Rice, Rice might get penalties. Suchek will get set piece goals. Lingard is pretty dangerous. Antonio, Bowen, Lanzini, James' favourite Fernandes, they're all. They could all be doing something, and I think they're all quite interesting. And I've also just brought Adam Lallana in as my midfield other option over Jack Harrison. So I'm fully backing Brighton this weekend.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, I like that. I had two shouts. One is a Brighton boy. I thought Trossard might be a interesting little shout. He's kind of all throughout the season. I feel like he's been a good shout, but not consistent enough to actually get going because, well, Brighton can't fucking score. And also...
was it three times he hit the frame against United earlier on? That was like the best, worst performance a player's ever had.
Can I just say, that was the most sickening game of all time. Like, even the way it ended and everything as well. That was absolutely sick. I didn't know I watched football for a month after that. That was just... horrible. Aye, you're right. I get three times at the woodwork, eh? Oh my god.
Ridiculous.
And I have another shout. Also, we spoke about this as well during segments. Shouldn't have really done it on air. Joe Willock. I think he's a fantastic player. I like the way he turns players inside out. I think he'll start playing a more progressive role if Newcastle start playing progressive football. Maybe a bit difficult with their injury situation at the moment, but he's a player that, even if he's not the greatest FPL pick, I'd still maybe look out for him next season if he's back at Arsenal or whatnot, because great player, in my opinion. And with that, we'll go on to the forwards. Struan, you can go first this time. Who have you got up top?
I've got Josh Maja, because I like Fulham.
A Jamie shout, I like that.
Unfortunately, for the first time on the show, Timo Werner is not on in my front line. I have brought Harry Kane in. I keep changing it around with the free hit power, and currently Kane has the armband.
Yeah.
But I think I might give that to Granit Xhaka, I'm a bit... I'm a bit mixed.
You need a true leader, you know. You need a true captain.
Captain on and off the pitch.
Famous and a fantastic captain, Granit Xhaka.
Oh, 100%. I can't decide between who I want to make my captain at the moment. So, at the moment, I've got Kane and Magic up front.
Yeah. Good shout. Who's your third? Have you got, since you're doing a free hit, who's your third? Is it just like a cheap option? Or?
Timo Werner's still on the bench.
Timo Werner's on the bench. Oh my god.
He's not gone just yet.
Let go.
Yeah, but couldn't you get more money if you take him out?
If I took him out, I'd have 30 million to spend on a player.
Do it!
But I don't know who.
Right, we'll have to just wait and see next week. Next week, I want to know if you actually got rid of him. If you didn't.
Antonio has just come in.
Antonio, great shout. I love Mikel Antonio. Absolutely.
I like Antonio. Who's chosen to represent Jamaica. Fair play to him.
Yeah, he didn't get picked this month, so did he? But he'll get picked up for.
I think he's unlucky to not get a game for England, but fair play.
See, if he didn't have injury problems, he's had major injury problems. If he didn't, he'd be one of the best strikers. But he's so versatile. So I've liked him since about 2015. I think he's a top player.
He used to be a right back, eh?
Yeah,
he did that Homer Simpson celebration that was the day.
Yeah,
I think everyone fell in love.
Right back to striker, like that's a position change you don't really see.
I know. Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
Only good players like Callum Patterson can do that. moving on, Taylor, take us away for Callum Patterson. Who have you got up top?
I've only got two, possibly one, but I've got Watkins and Bamford. And obviously Watkins is that terrible, so I'm relying on Bamford, that's my one.
Yeah.
I don't know, I might have one, I might have none, I might have two. I really, just like Leeds, by the way, my front line is up. I don't know. I really don't know.
Aye.
I might.
I'm the exact same tale, if that makes you feel any better. I've got Bamford and Watkins, and I've not got a third to pick from, so you're not the only man. I've got 7 million in the bank right now, but I can't afford an R-point hit. I'm just going to hope that one of them does well in these chaotic fixtures coming up, because I can't think of any other better strikers to bring in, to be honest. They're all kind of a bit shit this year. I think we've said that every single week on this show, but yeah, they are a bit hopeless. They're a bit diddy, so... Aye. Any last shouts? Like I said, I had Madger written down as a shout for a free hit, as you've taken heed off there, Struan. Any other shouts here, guys? I can't really think of any.
Nah, it's quite tough for these strikers.
Yeah, I think this is a bad week for strikers, isn't it? Definitely, if you've got
more than
two players.
Did we say Watkins?
Yeah, Watkins. Me and Taylor have him, but he's still not even a great pick. He's just, he'll do. He might get a goal, because it's a weird game Villa have against
Spurs. He made the England team. Speaking of the England team,
so he did. Yeah, wow. He is a good player, to be fair. He's
I like Watkins. FPL, I thought it was a really bad move at first with the money, but obviously he's done really well.
Nah, he's a good player. He's kind of got everything: physicality, a bit of pace, a bit of finishing power. Yeah, he's a good player. Well, that's us, guys. That's us. I'll ask the listeners: be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast to get the Fantasy Ramble shown in your feed. And give @FantasyRamble a follow on Twitter to see every one of our several panellist predictions each week, including this week if we get them done in time. Thank you for listening to myself, Struan and Taylor today. And be sure to look out for Football Roundup on Monday, likely guest hosted by the wonderful Graham Sinclair, who absolutely took over Extra Time yesterday. Please listen to that episode, it's fantastic. And Extra Time should be back on Thursday as well. Have a great weekend and goodbye.